This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Throughout the streets of America and the halls of the legislative branch of the United States government, the homosexual movement has proved relentless in pursuing its agenda. The 1964 Civil Rights Act, which provided equality in law for minorities, has been targeted by the homosexual community as a means by which they too hope to achieve the same guarantees of civil rights. They claim to be the emerging civil rights movement of the 21st century. They hope to successfully accomplish passage of legislation, protecting and providing them with equal rights and legitimate minority status.
The homosexual community today considers itself to be the 21st century civil rights movement. Now, considering all of the social injustices that Black America has experienced in the way of slavery and segregation, how does this make you feel, Mr. Collins, as an American history teacher in the public school system, about the method by which they're going ahead and appealing for their civil rights?
By the homosexual community comparing their movement to the civil rights movement of the 1960s and the work of Dr. Martin Luther King is a hypocrisy. The real intent of the civil rights movement was to end discrimination based upon race, sex, national origin, and religion. By the homosexual community, with going forward with their movement actually cheapens and downplays what Dr. Martin Luther King was trying to achieve for all minorities.
So, what's the difference then between a homosexual and an Afro-American minority, or Japanese, or Korean, or Latino for that matter?
The distinct difference between homosexual behavior and that of minorities is that minorities are born into their situation. Homosexuals choose their behavior. And for them to legitimize what they do based upon what Dr. Martin Luther King stated is appalling, and it should not legitimize their behavior.
Can this be right? Where is the moral clarity on this issue? Why has this marginal population group been so successful in advancing its agenda? Could it be we've allowed ourselves in our pursuit of being politically correct to be distracted from the Word of God? Stay with us as we attempt to gain biblical clarity on the issue of homosexuality.
The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Charles Gross.
Hello and welcome to the Armor of God telecast. We're really delighted that you've taken part of your day to spend with us. We have some important topics to talk to you about today. Hopefully you will be encouraged and stimulated to check things right out of your Bible. The topic today is one that is a little bit sensitive. Actually, it's very sensitive due to our political climate and the cultural sensitivities that are all around us. I don't care whether you're in Canada or here in the United States or Australia, wherever you might be, over in Europe. Let's just be quite honest and frank about it. That's the way we like to be here on the Armor of God telecast. We do present our opinions, but our opinions are developed out of the Scripture, out of the Holy Word of God. Those of you who are listening to us today are individuals that I presume are somewhat familiar with Scripture, and you know above all things that God loves every man, woman, and child. He loves humanity. However, having said that, there are certain things that we do, all of us, that we do, that God doesn't like. Now, today I'm going to be talking about one specific behavior, and the topic of our presentation today is the biblical witness against. Now, notice the biblical witness against homosexual behavior. And it is intentionally designed in that way because we do, in the Church of God International and out of the Bible as our witness, we have a responsibility to care for and love those who are sinners, whether they be erring in other parts of their lives, not just in the sexual part, but let's just be specific about it. If an individual is struggling with homosexuality, it's our responsibility to approach them properly and to teach them from the Word of God about their responsibility. Having said that, I'd like to spend some time with you today to take the Church of God International and the biblical witness into that conflict, the cultural war that's going on all around us that I truly believe is agenda-driven. Now, having said that, I would like to make it very clear. On the right side, the conservative right, if you want to look at it that way, there's no question there is an agenda there as well. It is an agenda that is driven out of a conservative approach to life and scripture and so forth. But on the left side as well, there is an agenda that's being promulgated and being forced on us, and I really do believe it is being forced on us in a way that I have never seen before. And as a result, there's a tension, there's an anxiety, there's a debate, there's a hostility, if you will, that's developing in our culture. It's sort of like this. If you don't like, if you don't love, if you don't accept, if you don't encourage homosexuality, then you don't love humanity. Well, that's hogwash, that's garbage, that's wrong, that's untrue. It's certainly possible that any one of us, and we would like to believe so, that we are capable of loving individuals even though they are sinners. But we will not accept, encourage, or cover up the sin itself. Now, before we get into this, we're going to look at some biblical examples. I'd like to just say that there's a tendency on the part of us who are continually bombasted and attacked because of our moral stance out of the Scripture on this subject to sort of get energetic and energized about it. I don't know if I'll be able to resist during this program, but, you know, I get tired of being attacked verbally and being confronted by angry people, most of them homosexuals, who don't like what we say on the Armor of God telecast. I am not going to back away. We will not back away from the gospel message. Now, if you don't want to accept this, if you just want to throw that away, let's just throw it away. Let's not pay any attention to it. Let's just discard it. And I don't know, I guess, how are we going to live our lives then? What kind of moral direction will we have in our lives? I know for one thing, there's something about life, at least the way that I was brought up, that was a normal course of living, thinking, making decisions. And today, what used to be normal is under attack. And I don't mean the permission to be a sinful person. I'm talking about the encouragement to accept licentiousness and perversion. And if I may put it just as bluntly as I can, out of the Scripture, where the Scriptures are grouped on homosexuality and even the New Testament teachings, homosexuality, my friends, is nothing more than a type of perversion. It is a breaking of the covenant of marriage. Of course, they're not even married, but people today are getting married, which is unbelievable. I want you to just think about that for a moment. Those of you who have been alive through a few decades, maybe a different generation of people who grew up in this world, do you remember when it was sort of a growing movement and people were struggling with their identity and they were finding whether or not they could find their identity in their gay-ishness? Well, today, it's pervasive. It's everywhere. It's all around us. And the pressure is being put upon those of us who are Christians to accept immorality, homosexuality, or there's something wrong with us. I'm not going to accept that. I'm going to remain faithful to the Holy Word of God. So we would like to, as we get into the program, refer you to some material that we have available today. We have two items. I want you to be sure to request these items. Both of them touch on the subject that I'm talking about today, and that is the biblical witness against homosexuality. So be sure to request the booklet. It's a very interesting read. It can easily be read in just a very short period of time, but it goes through rather systematically what the Bible says, presents on this topic. And it's up to you to decide, and I think it'll be very clear what the Bible says. The other item is a special tape that's been put together. It's entitled, What Does the Bible Say About Homosexuality? So two items. Once again, what does the Bible say about same-sex marriages, the literature, and the tape? What does the Bible say about homosexuality? You can call us at this toll-free number. Of course, it's on the screen, but I will at least read it to you. 1-888-578-8791. That's 888-578-8791. And please don't forget our website where there's a host of material available, www.cgi.org. You can find this material represented there, as well as some other teachings of the church and other booklets that are available. Now let's come back to the topic that we're talking about, and that is the subject of homosexuality. Once again, I want to make it very clear that we believe that we are to love the sinner, but we are not to love the sin. This comes from our belief right out of the Bible. And again, as I said, if you don't want to believe the Bible, well, let's just throw it out. But, you know, there's a consciousness, there's a certain sense of morality in the normal person, if I might put it that way, that says when a person does that, leans that way, something's not right, for the obvious reason that if you're homosexually inclined, you can't have any children. So in the absence of that, you know what everybody wants to do? They want to adopt children. Well, I don't know where all that's going to go, because once again we get all the liberal pressure about how sweet and cute two men living together are when they have children that they adopt. Isn't that just cute and sweet? And I'm not putting them down, because, you know, we've all grown up under the influence of close friends, male friends in my case, and I'm sure all the ladies who are listening, you had some close friends when you were growing up. There's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, when you seek genital expression, and that's what it's all about, let's just call it like it is. Let's not run from it. I could call it by a much more graphic name, but the polite usage is they want genital expression. Well, you know, maybe that's not what God wants us to have, not unless it's under the right circumstances. Now, I want you to see over here in Leviticus chapter 18, and don't be mad at me. If you want to be mad at the Scripture. I hope you wouldn't be mad at God, but, you know, decide what you believe. Now, if you believe in the Bible, then this is what it says. I'd like you to consider a couple places here. Leviticus chapter 18, there's a progression that unfolds here, and this is a great concern to me in our society today. Just recently in the news, there was a series of presentations, it's tragic really, about how in Texas there's an underground, actually it's an international underground group that was dealing in pedophilia. And when they gave the ages of those that they were actually taking pictures of, and they were graphically involved in all sorts of sexual acts, I was stunned, literally stunned, to realize that the youngest of the children was 18 months old. I remember a time, not too many years ago, where that was unheard of. Or if it was being practiced, I never heard about it. But now it's all over the news. And slowly but surely, what used to be unacceptable is now pervasive. And if you object to what is disgustingly repulsive in God's sight, some another you're branded as being homophobic. Well, I'm not homophobic, but I'll tell you one thing. I am against homosexuality, just like I am a heterosexual who commits adultery, just like I am with an individual who's a drunk driver, veers off the road, and kills somebody. I'm against that, too. I'm against all those things that the Scripture says we're not supposed to have as a discipline in our lives. What we're supposed to do is to have Jesus Christ living inside of us. And here's what I'm worried about now, other than the fact that we're going down a slippery slope into the total morass and the abyss, the moral abyss, excuse me, of a complete collapse of the things that are really valuable out of the Bible. Now, let me begin here in Leviticus 18. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. You know what that deals with? That deals with incest. I wonder how long it's going to be before we get tired of using one another, male with male and female with female, in the wrong way, because that's the way this human appetite is. You try something long enough, you get tired of it. That's why there's so much adultery in our world today. People are no longer covenanted together, and so they go out and they want to meet with other people. They want that rush and the excitement rather than staying covenanted with their mate. So how long is it going to be, friends, before the homosexuals, or, and for this matter, those that are heterosexuals, well, that's not good enough anymore. Anything goes. Why not sleep with my sister? Why not sleep with my mother? I mean, where does it stop? The Bible says you are not supposed to do that. Given enough time, society goes on long enough, I suggest there will be a movement toward that, and frankly, too much of it goes on already. Well, what about this over here in verse 21, same chapter? Anybody in favor of this? Hope not. It says, "And you shall not let any of your seed pass through the fire to Molech. Neither shalt you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." You know what that's talking about? It's talking about child sacrifice. Unfortunately, there are particular tapes out on the market today where human beings are literally killed in the act of having sex. It's a tragedy. But it just makes me wonder, how long will it be before we retreat back into more violent exhibition of immoral sex? You get a little bit of this, you want a little bit more, rather than being defined by the Scripture itself. Now here we go. It says in verse 22, "You shall lie. You shall not lie with mankind as with womankind." Right there, right out of this book. It's repeated several other places in the Scripture. So for those who are going to be angry over the profession of the truth, again, don't be mad at me. Be mad at the Scripture. Just make an admission. You don't believe in the Bible. Because if you believe in the Bible, you believe that practicing homosexuality is immoral and it breaks God's laws. You can't read it any other way. You can't mollify this. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Well, what's next after that? Verse 23, "Neither shalt you lie with any beast to defile yourself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto." It is absolute confusion. "Defile not yourself in any of these things." Can I read that again? "Defile not yourself in any of these things." So here's the argument. There are four of them. I wanted to cover them very briefly and sort of see where you fall, because these four categories, these four approaches, pretty much define the different perspectives toward how we deal with a homosexual. The first is that which is an unconditional rejection of the homosexual, followed up by some type of punishment. And unfortunately, over the years, there's been too much of that. Gays have been punished, unfortunately. They have been stoned. They've been sexually mutilated. They've been mistreated. And I think a lot of this stems from some myths. And just being fair, I want you to know there are some myths out there. And if you study into it, these things are not true. Lesbians are not masculine. Now, it doesn't mean that some can't be. But all lesbians, they do not lose their femininity. On the other hand, too, male gays are not necessarily effeminate. Homosexuals are not compulsively sex hungry. Neither are male gays inherently prone to child molestation. And homosexuals, by their nature, are not necessarily more promiscuous. Now, the reason why I say that is there's a lot of myths. There's a lot of myths about sex in general, but certainly about homosexuality. And I think that the misunderstanding of those things has led to the mistreatment. So the very first one is an unconditional rejection of homosexuals and a punishment to be associated with that. The second category is what's called a rejection of homosexuality. Let it be condemned, but let's not condemn the homosexual person. I'd like to give to you a quote, and you see where this comes from. This comes from a theologian, and this is what he says. Quote, "Since humanity is fellow humanity, men and women come into full humanity only in relations to persons of the opposite sex. To seek one's humanity in a person of the same sex is to seek, quote, a substitute for the despised partner, and as such constitutes physical, psychological, and social sickness. The phenomenon of perversion, decadence, and decay. This then is idolatry, for one who seeks the same sex union is simply seeking oneself, which is satisfaction and self-sufficiency," end quote. So that's a little bit of the reasoning behind that. And again, it's where you reject the homosexual, you reject the homosexuality, but you do not necessarily reject the sinner. You learn to love that individual, if you will. The third position is a qualified acceptance. And that means that you accept homosexuality, but with qualifications. There's a lot of pressure for us to do that today, especially on the basis of constitutional rights and the things that are politically correct in our society today. The fourth position is, well, whatever you want to do, do it. Full acceptance. No qualms about it. If you want to get married, do it. I guess where this goes, looking at the Scripture here, I guess one of these days everybody get lined up. They can marry their sisters. Why not do that? I guess, why stop there? Why not, if we're just going to throw the Bible out, let's line up with our animals. Maybe there's some special covenanted rights in there. It's hard to say. Where does it stop? Well, I'll tell you where it stops. It stops right here with the Word of God, if you really believe this. And I'm sorry, I don't intentionally mean to make anyone angry, but I guess I'm a little bit disturbed that God's Word is under attack, that Christianity and the views espoused by Jesus Christ are somehow or another out of date. No, this book is for all time. This book is absolutely not out of date. I'd like to give you another quote of some length. Just consider, and I'll try to read through it slowly. I want you to think about this because it shows you the extent to which the liberal interpretation and the influence to be that way is fostered upon us in our society. This is a quote from a liberal ethicist. Quote, "Homosexuality, an issue for the church," that's the title of the article. He says, "I wonder about the possibilities of augmented liberation for us all, were a greater acceptance of homosexuality to come." By the way, that is what's being pressured on us today. "Many of us have experienced some diminution of our own homophobia, bringing..." Wait a minute, I don't know that I'm a homophobic. Maybe I am. But he says, "Many of us have experienced some diminution of our own homophobia, bringing new possibilities," oh, I love these words, "tenderness, lessened competitiveness, and greater emotional intimacy with those of our own sex. I honestly never knew that I had any problems, and the men that I run with, if you will, grew up with, played ball with, went to school with, partied with, I never knew that they were struggling with their tenderness and their competitiveness and their emotional intimacy toward any of us, for crying out loud." Continuing now, "Many of us males have become more conscious of the connection between the use of violence and our needs for assurance of our virility. And we wonder whether greater understanding and acceptance of our homosexual impulses might not well contribute to a more peaceful society." It will not contribute to a more peaceful society, ladies and gentlemen. It will only contribute to decadence. The Word of God, the books of Leviticus, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 1 Timothy, out of this book, are relevant and they are binding today. We are not going to succumb to the pressures of the left, nor pressures from the right, to somehow or another modify the biblical witness on homosexuality to fit what makes good listening to the homosexual or gay community, or for that matter, the political community. Those books out of the Bible are the ones that tell us how we're supposed to approach and witness toward homosexuality. There are two ways to neutralize the biblical witness against this type of behavior. First of all, by a flagrant misinterpretation of what the Bible says. And isn't it astonishing that in a world where there's so much knowledge, that major churches and denominations where some of you attend, their leaders and their pastors, people of reputation, people who supposedly read the Scripture, are now saying that homosexuality should be accepted in the church, even in the priesthood, for crying out loud, even in the ministry. Now, I don't know how you square that with the Scripture, but I know what you're doing. You're neutralizing the biblical witness by making it sweet and cute and cuddly and good, and yet the Bible looks at it as a perversion. The other way we do this is by moving away from a higher view of what the Scripture says about the reason for marriage itself. You understand we're not against pleasure and enjoying life. And certainly those men and women out there who are struggling with sexual desires that are not what we would call within the biblical permission, you know, we understand that, but we also would encourage you to do what all of us have to do and look at who we belong to, who we adhere to, who it is that directs our lives, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, here's the question. God understands all of our needs, or this is the point I want to make. God understands all of our needs. He loves us, but we are not given permission, not a one of us, to practice any type of immorality. Oh, we'll slip up and we'll make mistakes and God forgives us. But God does not defer to our inclinations and orientations or preferences just because we want to do it. We've got to get ourselves lined up with the Scripture. God is not unfair to individuals who are struggling with problems, whether it be the alcoholic, whether it be with someone with anxiety, whether it be someone who's ill-tempered, someone who's given to violence, or someone who is struggling with their sexual appetites. But he shows us how we're supposed to live our lives and what we're supposed to do. Our society, friends, is attempting to, working diligently day by day to change the moral standard of the Bible itself. I hope you will not allow that to happen. Do not allow it to happen in your personal life and in your family and in your community. Take a stand. Lots of you who view this program may or may not agree with some of the things that we present, but we do appreciate you following us and listening to what we have to say. But in this, let's stand together, because this is just another step in the wrong direction. This is just another step away from God, away from the Holy Word of God. Let's stand up on this issue. Let it not occur in your church, among your people, among those with whom you fellowship. No, we will accept the sinner, but we will not approve the sin, not once, not today, not tomorrow, and not in the coming future. We are, in fact, supposed to become a slave, not to our appetites, whatever they might be, but we are to become a greater slave to Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who showed us that through him, whatever problems we struggle with could be overcome. So what I'm offering here is for those who are struggling in this area to search out for healing, search out for forgiveness, and let God enter into your life, and you will be amazed at how much peace will come along, and it ends all the frustration and the anxiety. Jesus Christ was not a narrow-minded bigot. Neither is the Word of God. Just because he says you shouldn't do that doesn't mean he's a bigot. It means that's the way that really leads to happiness, really leads to the joy that you want in your life. So if you're struggling with this, go talk to some professional. But first of all, get on your knees, ask for forgiveness, really work diligently at capturing the proper biblical witness that's presented in the Scripture on homosexuality. And remember, whatever's going on in your life, those of us who are in the Christian faith, whatever part of the spectrum we're in, we do love you, but we do not love the sin. We hope you will definitely stay tuned now and listen to these messages and come back and visit with us again next week.
The Bible is clear. God's Word is not ambiguous, nor does it mince words concerning homosexuality. Notice, there shall be no Sodomites of the daughters of Israel, nor a Sodomite of the sons of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 17. Notice also in the New Testament, God's word remains clear and distinct concerning Sodomites. Notice, what? Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the realm of God? Make no mistake, neither the immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor catamites, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor the lustful, nor the drunken, nor the abusive, nor robbers, will inherit the realm of God. Some of you were once like that, but you washed yourselves clean. You were consecrated. You were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 in the Moffat translation. Friends, won't you allow us to help you understand the clarity of what God's Word, the Holy Bible, says about homosexuality? Call now, toll-free 888-578-8791 and ask for our free booklet entitled, What Does the Bible Say About Same-Sex Unions? And also a one-hour tape or CD, as you prefer, by Wayne Hendricks entitled, What Does the Bible Say About Homosexuality?
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours.